This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The Citizens Research Council of Michigan is marking its first 100 years with a series of events and a book about its history. Coming up, I'll talk with CRC President Eric Lufer. But first, 70 years ago at this time, military tribunals were being held in Nuremberg, Germany. On trial were Nazi leaders accused of planning and carrying out the Holocaust and other war crimes. A conference and workshop marking the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II and the Nuremberg trials begins today at Kalamazoo College. The organizer of the conference is K College history professor David Barclay. He is also executive director of the German Studies Association. David Barclay, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Gordon.
Tell us, what's the scope of the discussion that you want to have at Kalamazoo College regarding war crimes, genocide, and tribunals, military tribunals?
First, I should say a few words of background to our workshop. The workshop is made possible by a bequest from the late Margaret Skolton and the late Dr. Roger Skolton. Dr. Skolton was a prominent physician here in Kalamazoo and also was a combat surgeon in two wars. As a result of that experience, he became interested in issues of international human rights. After his death, the Skoltons endowed a chair in international studies at Kalamazoo College and also requested that a conference on some aspect of international human rights be organized in their name. Accordingly, we decided that this year would be an appropriate occasion to hold such a conference, since this is, as you said, the 70th anniversary of the Nuremberg War Crimes Trials. What we hope to do at this conference is consider a number of linkages between the phenomenon of genocide more generally, between the Holocaust more specifically, and the question of international human rights in the wake of the Nuremberg War Crimes Trials, specifically in terms of the famous 1948 UN Convention on Genocide. And so to that end, we're going to be exploring the phenomenon of genocide more generally in the 20th century. We will be talking about events in Namibia between 1904 and 1908, events in Rwanda, the Eastern Congo, and the Darfur in the 1990s. We'll also be talking about the Armenian events in 1915. And their consequences for contemporary Turkey. In every case, we will be considering the consequences of all these issues for contemporary events around the world. Of course, we can't include everything in a conference that lasts even, like this one, 2 days. A number of examples of genocide will have to be discussed peripherally, most notably the case of Cambodia. But there are others as well. We'll also be discussing the legal ramifications of all of this in the context of comparative and international law. And we'll conclude, in fact, with a discussion of the phenomenon of cultural genocide.
Do the Nuremberg trials represent an important point, you know, to look at in terms of before and after? Because you mentioned some events there which obviously happened before World War II.
Right.
But do the Nuremberg trials sort of represent a point at which we kind of have to examine, okay, what happened before and what happened after in terms of how it was adjudicated later through war crimes trials?
There's no question about that. We also have to discuss this in terms of the concept of genocide itself. The word was first used during the Second World War. It was, in fact, developed by a man, a refugee from Europe named Raphael Lemkin, writing in this country during the Second World War. So the very term genocide was unknown before 1942. This has raised some interesting questions, both politically and intellectually. For example, can one refer to what happened in Namibia between 1904 and 1908 as genocide if the concept itself did not yet exist? I find that a rather dubious question, but it's one which is sometimes posed, and it's an answer which is sometimes suggested by those who argue that, for example, Germany should not pay reparations to Namibia as a result of what happened between 1904 and 1908 in that country.
your particular area of expertise is Germany.
That is correct.
And German history.
Right.
So what can we say about where Germany has gone here in these last 70 years? I mean, does World War II, the Holocaust, and the trials at Nuremberg in some ways still cast a shadow over German politics and culture?
There's no question that it resonates in all kinds of important ways. And there is no question that we see this most recently in the refugee situation which Germany is experiencing right now. In the first years after the Second World War, in the years of Reconstruction, there tended to be not so much denial as non-recognition of what was what had just happened. People were concerned with reconstructing their lives, and there was, if not denial, then certainly an unwillingness to confront the realities of what Germany had been responsible for in the 1940s. That began to change in significant ways in the 1960s, but especially after the 1970s. Interestingly enough, the American TV series Holocaust had a huge impact on German public awareness, both of the Holocaust and of responsibility for it. Now, that said, of course, Germany, of course, has always had a complex relationship with Israel. There is, of course, the question of German reparations to Israel that began to be paid in the 1950s and thereafter. A number of Germans have developed a very special relationship with Israel. I'm thinking, for example, of my old acquaintance Klaus Schütz, who was the mayor of West Berlin between 1967 and 1977. A member of the Social Democratic Party, a close ally of German Chancellor Willy Brandt, who had a very special relationship with Israel, later serving as Germany's ambassador to that country. And mentioning, of course, Chancellor Brandt, there is the famous example from 1970 of Brandt's trip to Warsaw, in which he knelt before the memorial to the victims of the Warsaw Ghetto. This was, of course, an important step in terms of reconciliation, not only with the Jewish community, but also with Poland more generally. So, especially since the 60s and 70s, there has been, I think, a clear awareness of this in Germany. More recently, this has been extended to a consideration of German responsibility for the atrocities and the genocide, quite honestly, that took place in the former German Southwest Africa, the former German colony of Southwest Africa, now the independent nation of Namibia, between 1904 and 1908. For some years, there has been a rather heated controversy about the extent to which there is a linkage between what happened in Southwest Africa or Namibia between 1904 and 1908 and what happened really 40 years later in Europe. A growing consensus among historians has developed in Germany and elsewhere that what happened in Namibia was indeed genocide and that Germany does have to accept responsibility for that. Last year, in 2015, the president of the German Bundestag, the German parliament, Norbert Lammert, wrote an article in which he stated that Germany does indeed have to take responsibility for what happened in Southwest Africa, that it indeed was genocide. There are activists in Namibia who suggest that Germany should pay reparations to Namibia, analogous to Germany's policies toward Israel, but that has not yet been resolved.
Is the view generally in Germany that there is that justice was more or less done at Nuremberg? Is that the way it's viewed through the lens of history, that that there was a trial, that these defendants had the chance to present their case, and ultimately that this was the proper method by which this should have been adjudicated?
I think that depends on which generation of Germans you're talking about. I think it also depends on the period you're talking about. I think in the immediate wake of the trial, there was a sense on the part of ordinary Germans, to the extent that they even paid attention to it, because quite honestly, ordinary Germans after 1945 were trying to rebuild their lives after the massive destruction that the war had caused. But to the extent that they paid attention to it, I think there was a tendency on the part of a lot of Germans to suggest that this was victor's justice. As years have gone on and as generations have passed, I think we've reached a point now where most young Germans younger Germans, would regard this as an appropriate and effective response to the war, although, to be sure, a number of major criminals and, in fact, a number of less-known criminals escaped the system. So even now, for example, as we speak, there's a guy who is in his 90s who stands accused of commission of war crimes. Soon biology will run out and will run its course and there won't be any left. But the fact that even now in the year 2016, we're still talking about these things suggests that what was begun at Nuremberg is in many ways still incomplete.
But that was also, in some ways, the risk that was taken doing it this way, right? If you're going to have a trial, sometimes trials sure. result in acquittals, even if you think you have the hard,
right.
you know, the cold, hard facts on your side.
Or some people never being brought to trial in the first place. Yeah. Which is the case with some of these. And of course, Nuremberg was followed up by a number of other trials. One of my former students at Kalamazoo College did a doctoral dissertation at the University of North Carolina on the so-called Ulm trials after the war, which involved a number of lesser-ranked Nazi officials who were then brought to justice as well. So Nuremberg was supposed to be the model for a number of others that followed and that did follow.
I mentioned at the beginning that you are executive director of the German Studies Association. Tell our listeners a little bit about this group. What does it do?
The German Studies Association is the largest academic society in the world devoted to the study of any and all aspects of the German-speaking world. It's primarily an association of college professors, although 20% of our members are also graduate students. We have currently about 2,400 members around the world. About 40% of our members are professors of German language, literature, cultural studies. About 40% of our members are historians. The other 20% will be art historians, sociologists, economists, and so on. About 300 of our members are in Germany. We have about 100 members in the UK. In fact, we have members in 29 different countries, although the bulk of our members are right here in the United States and Canada. We have a number of members in Michigan, including West Michigan. We have a number of active members right here at Western Michigan University, at Kalamazoo College, at Grand Valley, and so on, as well as a number of very active members at Michigan State, University of Michigan, Wayne State. But we're based right here in Kalamazoo.
David Barclay, thank you very much for your time.
Sure, thank you.
David Barclay is professor of history at Kalamazoo College and executive director of the German Studies Association. The conference and workshop, 70 Years After Nuremberg, Genocide and Human Rights and Comparative Perspective, begins today at Kalamazoo College. It will run through Saturday. You can find more details through a link at our website, wmuk.org.